You are listening to the Advisor Solutions Podcast, episode 78. Welcome to the Advisor Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Finley, president of Advisor Solutions. Do you feel like you're playing at the top of your game? In other words, are you running your business at peak performance? Your time management, prospecting, sales, client servicing, and product knowledge are getting you to the pinnacle of success. Most likely, you don't. And if so, know this. You are not alone. Most financial advisors, insurance agents, wholesalers, branch managers, and even agency managers are not playing at peak performance. And they don't even know it. And the reason they don't know it is because they've never really looked at specific areas of their business to determine if they have challenges and what challenges they really have. And what solutions they need in order to get to the next level. So what do you do? We really have two choices. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to keep getting what you're getting. Or you could learn how to start playing at peak performance by understanding what the next level actually looks like and how to get there. And that's what we're going to talk about today, so that you can learn a process to help you to succeed. So, if you're ready to take your business to the next level, then stick around. So why this topic? Why would you want to learn how to play at peak performance? Well, think of it this way. If you think of any athlete at all, that you feel is one of the all-time greatest at their sport, maybe a Michael Jordan or Muhammad Ali or Tiger Woods, you probably would agree that they were playing at peak performance. But are you playing at peak performance in your business? Most people would say that they're not. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast today. Because I want you to understand that if you have the right coaching, you can play at peak performance. And you have to admit to yourself that along the way, to having success, each one of those people that I mentioned and all of the other great athletes that are out there had a couple of things in common. And one is that they were great. But the other is they all had a coach. So what we're going to do today is we're going to cover three things. First, playing at peak performance so that you understand how one advisor got back into the game. Second, the top five characteristics of peak performers, so that you understand what it takes to be great. And third, understanding the next level, so that you know what to do when you're ready to succeed. Now, before we jump into those three things that we're going to talk about in this podcast, I need to ask you a few questions. What would your business be like and your life be like if you were at the pinnacle of your success? Would you feel energized? Would you feel empowered? Would you like your business more? And would you apply what you learned? If the answer is yes, then let's begin. Playing at peak performance. So I have a story in my new book called Advisor Life, a business coach's collection of short stories with tools, techniques, and transformational moments. In this story, I titled it, Put Me In, Coach. And in the story, I mentioned that being a financial advisor is a lot like being an athlete. If you've ever played on a team, you probably relate to the feeling of anticipation while waiting to play in the game. And you probably think to yourself, put me in, coach. I'm ready. And once you got into the game, it was up to you to stay in the game and to make the most of the time that you have in there to shine. Well, one example of using this analogy is Amy, a financial advisory client of mine, which had 10 years of experience, who wanted to succeed, and she needed my help to do it. You see, as her business coach, I helped her determine what her goals were and what action that she'd need to take in order to work smarter instead of just trying to work harder. And next, we practiced by role-playing so that she could get back to actually prospecting and getting back in the game. But it didn't take her long for her to realize that she was not applying what she had learned, because her fear was basically getting in her way. And as a result, she'd rather sit on the sidelines than risk losing the game. So let's take a look at a step-by-step approach that I utilized with Amy to create her, what I call, amazing comeback. Step one, be all in. What Amy was experiencing is a very common thing for veterans and for rookies alike. You see, it's easy to want to win, but it's not always easy to actually risk the possibility of losing. And a lot of advisors and agents choose not to even try. They just don't get in the game. In other words, it's like asking the coach to put you into the game, but choosing not to be all in by playing the best that you could once you're in the game, because you just don't want to make a mistake and contribute to a loss. So you're kind of half in and half out. You see, the first step with Amy was to get her to commit to taking action and being dedicated to being, quote, all in, unquote, when it came to her own success. See, nobody's going to help you succeed or do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. They can help you by showing you what to do and how to do it, but you've got to do it. And so I had her make a list of reasons why she wanted to get to the next level and what would happen in 1, 2, 3, 5, or 10 years from now, from then anyway, if she continued not prospecting. And after realizing the pleasure she would have by being on top of her game and being a top producer, and the pain that she would have by not being a top producer or being a low-level producer, she committed. She committed to getting back into the game by prospecting. So, at that point, we went to the next step. Step two, think on your feet. All athletes know that sometimes plays don't go as planned. It's just a common occurrence. You might practice that play over and over again, but on game day, anything can happen. So too is practicing for an appointment and realizing the conversation isn't going in the right direction that you want it to. And that's why you have to be able to think on your feet. Amy realized that setting appointments with new prospects was getting easier, but from time to time, she was getting caught off guard with a specific objection or objections. And I tried to assure her that this is just a natural part of the process, and all we needed to do is increase the tools and techniques and strategies and solutions to really help her handle those objections whenever she got one that she wasn't expecting. You see, it's not about memorizing what to say, but understanding the formula on how to say it. And once we did this, she could easily adapt to any conversation, anytime she got an objection, because she knew the process. That made all the difference. Then we went to the next step. Step three, assess your action and results. All great coaches know that the best way to take their players to a higher level is to help them assess their action and their results. And that's why most teams watch game films, so that they can duplicate their own success and learn from their mistakes. And within weeks, Amy was excited to tell me that her pipeline was pretty much full. She had 8 appointments set for the week, for the next week, and had already turned a few of those prospects into clients since our last session. So things were going in the right direction. So let's talk about what she learned. Wanting to win. Amy knew that just getting into the game wasn't enough. Instead, she had to focus on her desire to win. You see, if you take a page out of her playbook, you too can create what it takes to get to the next level of success. So what do you need in order to be a peak performer? Well, that is what we're going to talk about next. the top five characteristics of peak performers. As you can see from Amy's story, it just took the right steps and the right coaching to get her to the next level. And she got to the next level. In fact, she consistently put people into the pipeline and moved people through. But what does a peak performer or peak performance even mean anyway? Well, the textbook definition would be this. Peak performance is when an individual performs at optimal levels physically, mentally, or both. In many ways, peak performance is parallel to reaching self-actualization. Now, I believe getting to the top of your game in business is not so much about getting into peak physical state, like an athlete would, but more about having the right characteristics or developing those characteristics to really help you to build a better business. So let's take a look at the top five characteristics of peak performers in the financial services industry, so that you can understand what contributes to making some advisors and agents good, while others, great. Characteristic number one, accepting full responsibility. Let's face it, nobody is going to build your business for you. It's not going to happen. In fact, nobody should care more about your business than you do. I've told a lot of advisors and agents that over the years. Quote, I can't care more about your business than you do, unquote. And the reason I've said that over the years is because if they don't care about their business or their success, they'll never really succeed. One of the biggest things to remember if you want to succeed is be responsible for your own success. And when you accept full responsibility for your own success or your own failure, you don't blame others. You don't blame the market, the economy, your company, the prospects that didn't want to meet with you, or the prospecting process, such as cold calling doesn't work anymore, or saying things like that, that it just doesn't work anymore. In other words, you don't blame anyone or anything else that you can use as an excuse to keep you stuck on a production plateau, because you accept the truth that you and only you are responsible for your own success. That reminds me of a client of mine that I had years ago. Joe, that's not his real name, was a newer advisor with 4 years of experience in the business. And he was barely making it. In fact, he, at the time when we met, he had only averaged $2 million in new assets a year for the first 4 years. So here's this guy sitting at $8 million, and he's not succeeding at all. In fact, he's probably about to get fired, but he wanted to get to the next level. And he wanted to get to the next level as quickly as possible. He got into the Advisor Solutions Group Coaching Program. I think he got into the Pipeline and Sales 1.0. And he got into the Pipeline and Sales 2.0 and 3.0. But he took responsibility for his own lack of success. And he wanted to learn as much as he could. He wanted to learn how to put people into his pipeline and through his pipeline. So he got into individual coaching with me. And in 1 year, he had tremendous success. In fact, he gathered, in that 1 year of coaching with me, $17 million. In new assets. So by January, 1 year of coaching with me, he went from $8 million to $25 million. And you might be thinking, well, he bought a book, but he didn't. Or he was given accounts, but he wasn't. And in 1 month, he gathered more assets than he did the previous year. In just that 1 month. Now, years later, the tools, techniques, strategies, and solutions that I taught him are ingrained in him. And the reason is because he took responsibility for his own success. You see, when you take responsibility for your own success and you want to succeed, you look for ways to work smarter and not just harder. So let's take a look at the next characteristic. Characteristic number two, being fearless. Fear can make or break a business, and it can come down to being in many forms of what you find yourself afraid of. Fear of the stock market, the economy, prospects even, or even certain clients that might make you a little afraid. You don't want to hear from them. But the biggest fear that I've seen that holds people back from success is the fear of rejection. You see, your relationship to rejection can make or break your business. In other words, if you view rejection as a natural part of the sales process, then you don't care if you're rejected. You just keep prospecting. It doesn't matter. But if you take rejection personally, then you stop prospecting because it's painful. I can teach you all of the tips, tools, techniques, strategies, and solutions for prospecting, but if you don't conquer your fear of rejection, you'll never make the calls. Let me tell you a quick story of one advisor that was stuck in that challenge. Jerry, and that's not his real name, by the way, was a 15-year veteran that was on a production plateau. He started prospecting again, and a week later, he stopped because of the fear of rejection. I called him, and I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "It's kind of painful, and so I'm not doing it as much." And I asked him if he wanted to work with some of those people that seemed painful, that were rude to him. He said, "No, I really don't." So I told him to grab a post-it note, and I said, "I want you to write this down." And he wrote down, "I am the rejector, you are the rejectee." And then he was to say that every single time that somebody was rude and hung up on him, because he doesn't want to work with rude people. And a week later, he told me, "I rejected something like 43 people last week." And I asked, "Well, did you accept anybody?" And he laughed and he said, "Yeah, I accepted a few people." And when I asked how he felt, he said, "Well, I feel great. I love prospecting." You see, what he didn't realize was that it was his focus and his perspective that he didn't want to work with people that were rude and that was actually making him mentally stronger. And when you get yourself to be mentally stronger, you start to like prospecting again, just like he did. Let's go to the next characteristic. Characteristic number 3, lifelong learning. Peak performers know that it's important to keep learning. In fact, sometimes they know that they have to keep learning or they have to learn something new to get better results. You see, if you stop learning, you stop growing. And you never become a peak performer in your office, in your company, or even in your own mind if you stop learning. And that reminds me of a client that I had years ago named Brandy. Now, Brandy, who was a newer advisor at the time, was working with her mother. I've told this story before in other podcasts, but it bears worth repeating because Brandy was working with her mother, and her mother was a financial advisor who had been in the business for 25 years. Brandy had been a scientist before she got into the business. See, she was a scientist when her mother called and asked her to quit her job and move back to California. So she packed up everything, quit her job, and moved back to California to become a financial advisor. See, her mom needed her. Her mom was sick, and she knew that she was going to be out of the office for maybe months at a time. So Brandy quit her job, like I said, moved back to California, got her license, and started working in her mom's office. The only problem was is that her mom really wasn't out of the office that much. And that's okay. That's probably a good thing. But what it did was actually it made Brandy question her role. So her mom had an assistant, and her assistant worked with her for years. And the assistant didn't really do much, or so Brandy told me. And so I asked what she could do to help her mom, and something that her mom doesn't do. Well, her mom did a lot of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, but no insurance. And I had Brandy learn how to do a quote on herself. See, Brandy didn't know. And the next week, she reported back that the quote was easy. The paperwork is easy. So we took it to the next step. I taught her what to say, how to say it, and how to handle objections when calling the clients to set an appointment and try to do a life insurance quote for them. And the next week, she came back and said, "Yeah, I have 6 appointments set up, and that setting appointments was easy." Then we worked on the presentation and how to close. We worked on the five most common objections, such as, you know, it seems expensive. Let me think about it. Why don't I talk to my spouse? And so on. And the next week, she explained what happened with her first meeting. And here's what happened. She went through the entire presentation, and the client gave her an objection. And I said, so what'd you do? And she said, well, it was one that we worked on, and I knew exactly what to say. Then the client gave her another objection. And again, I said, so what'd you do? She said, well, it was one that we worked on, and I knew exactly what to say. I said, that's great. Then what'd you do? Well, I got another objection, she said. So I said again, well, what happened? What'd you do? She said, well, I went through that objection, and she said, it was one that we worked on, and I knew exactly what to say. So I asked, then what happened? And she said, then I closed. And I said, that's great. And then she paused. She said, but I still had two more objections to go. I laughed, and I said, I told her that, you know, you don't have to overcome five objections to have a close, just close. The point is, she loved learning. And she loved learning so much that she became very successful at doing insurance. So successful that she was actually writing life insurance policies for most of the client base. Oh, and her mom never viewed her as an assistant again. Let's go to the next characteristic. Characteristic number four, strategically organized. I've said it before and I'll say it again, winging it doesn't work. Instead, you need a system or a process for everything. You see, peak performers know that being strategically organized means that they have a system or a process for their entire business. In fact, it's the one thing that I didn't have for about 10 years, and I know what it's like not to have systems. But it's the reason that I created Advisor Solutions. Here's what I mean. You see, when I realized that I had specific challenges in each of the eight most important facets of the business, which are time management, prospecting, sales, relationship building, marketing, client servicing, product and market knowledge, managing accounts, I started looking for the solutions. And this is what I call getting strategically organized. I started not only understanding the challenges and the solutions, but I started applying the solutions. And as a result, the business got, well, easier. And when my coaching clients applied the tools, the techniques, the strategies, and solutions to get their businesses to the next level, it got easier for them too. And it reminds me of a client that I have. I'll call him Bill, but that's not his real name. Take Bill, for instance. This guy is a veteran financial advisor with 7 years of experience. We were in a group coaching session a few weeks ago when I asked him to tell me a story about how did the week go. And he did. He told us, the group, and myself, that he closed a small account, which was about under $100,000. But that the same person that he closed had $1 million in a 401k that he could roll over. The only problem was that he didn't ask him to roll it over. And he felt bad about it. And he said that, quote, I blew it, unquote, because he should have. He should have asked for the order. And that's when I told Bill that he didn't blow it. In fact, he can still ask for the order. He can still ask the minute that we finished up the group coaching session. So I explained exactly what to do and what to say and how to say it and how to handle the objections. The only thing that I asked was to either call me, email me, or text me the minute after he closes this guy. So he laughed and said he would. Well, it didn't take him very long after group ended for me to get this text from him that said, I closed him. So I called him back. I called him to hear the story. He told me that he gathered $1 million in less than 3 minutes and without any recommendations. And get this, without any objections. In fact, he said it was easy. And the reason that it was easy was because he was strategically organized. He knew what to say, how to say it, and how to handle the objections. But here's the thing. There weren't any objections. Let's go to the final characteristic. Characteristic number 5, being mentally strong. A very important characteristic of being a peak performer is having a strong mindset. How you view the world and what type of perspective you have when you have setbacks is important. So what does, quote, mentally strong, unquote, look like? Well, the psychological characteristics of peak performers have been associated with a particular psychological profile characterized by having feelings of self-confidence and expectations of success. They just know that they're going to succeed. Also, being energized but at the same time, being relaxed. So they're excited to win, but they're not full of anxiety. They feel in control. You just know that they're mentally strong because they know what they're going to do. And get this, they have a high concentration. And they know how important it is for them to get focused, to get to the next level and beyond. And so having a strong focus on each task, being able to know what you're going to do in the moment, and having great boundaries, so when you get interrupted, you don't just go off on a tangent, are important as well. Instead, you're doing what you need to do to get things done. And you have a positive mental attitude, regardless of what's happening. In other words, they're looking at the opportunity within the obstacle. So, this kind of mindset that I see in top performers really comes down to they look at the positive regardless of the outcomes. They are resilient regardless of the setbacks. They embrace change. In fact, they view it as an opportunity. It's kind of a good thing. They don't get easily distracted, so they focus on the task. Like I said, they're empathetic, so they connect with people. They're self-motivated, so they're going to do it. They're going to make it happen themselves, and they set healthy boundaries with their clients and with others. You see, when you are mentally strong, you know that a setback could very well be a setup for a breakthrough, a major breakthrough that could get you to the next level. But how do you get to the next level? Well, that is what we're going to talk about next. Understanding the next level. So I said that we'd cover 3 things in this podcast. First, playing at peak performance. Check, we did that. Second, the top 5 characteristics of peak performers. Check, we did that too. Now what we're going to talk about is understanding the next level. So you know what to do when you're ready to succeed. What you know by now is that it's very possible to become a peak performer. In fact, these stories in this podcast were all about advisors and agents who were on a production plateau, but were able to turn things around. But what you might not know is that getting the right coaching will help you create that kind of success, those business breakthroughs, much faster than not getting coaching at all. In fact, I've been in the industry for 30 years, and I've been coaching advisors and agents since 2004. As a result, I've taken advisors and agents and wholesalers and branch managers and agency managers of every type to the next level. The only real question is, are you ready for the next level or the next step? So what is the next step? Well, the next step is easy. It's only going to take you about 30 seconds, and it's the most important step you'll ever take. I truly believe that. And here's what it is. You could either disregard everything that you heard in this podcast and go back to whatever it is that you've been doing, and nothing will change. And that's the wrong step in the wrong direction. Or you could take less than 30 seconds to take the right step in the right direction. And here's how. Email me. Email me at dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. And simply write, "Let's talk," in the subject line. And a little bit about your challenges, and I'll email you back. We'll set up a time to talk about the solutions that have helped other advisors and agents. And this is absolutely the right step in the right direction. Because if you do, you'll start getting a the process of getting connections, camaraderie, and ancillary learning, and it's probably what you've always needed. Also, you'll be able to finally have the solutions to be playing at peak performance. Well, thank you for listening to this Advisor Solutions podcast. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe so you can listen each week. Also, check us out on the web at AdvisorSolutionsInc.com. And finally, if you like what you heard and you want to know more about the Advisor Solutions group coaching program or the Advisor Solutions individual coaching programs, please email me at Dan@AdvisorSolutionsInc.com. I would be happy to set up a free coaching session if that's what you'd like. Again, that's Dan@AdvisorSolutionsInc.com. Please join us next week as we help advisors and agents build a better business, one solution at a time.